KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K284AL Holly Eva. And if you are any of our Holly Eva friends, identify yourself when you call in. I'm not sure if I've gotten direct calls from Oahu yet. This is Kauai Soapbox Live. Felicia. And this program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Canvas, Kauai Concert Association, National Tropical Botanical Gardens Concert, and we so appreciate our underwriters.
Kauai Canvas, professional gallery quality giclée canvas printing and digital image capture now available on Kauai. Managing print flow, stretching, and even crating. More information at 212-6971 or online at kauaicanvas.com. Kauai Canvas, stretch your imagination.
The Kauai Concert Association proudly presents a classical and world music performance by Brazil Guitar Duo, Sunday, March 9th, starting at 4 p.m. at the KCC Performing Arts Center. That's Brazil Guitar Duo, featuring a seamless blend of traditional and Brazilian music, Sunday, March 9th, at the KCC Performing Arts Center. More information and tickets at 245-SING, that's 245-S-I-N-G, or online at kauai-concert.org.
The National Tropical Botanical Garden presents the Musical Legends and the Garden Concert, Saturday, April 5th, featuring 13-time Grammy winner Jerry Douglas on the dobro, plus Hawaiian legends Ledward Ka'apana, Dennis Kamakahi, and Mike Ka'ava, a trio of Nathan Aveau, Jeff Peterson, and Benny Chong, plus local favorites Ken Emerson, Poncho Graham, and Kirby Keough. The concert celebrates the 50th anniversary of the nonprofit National Tropical Botanical Garden. More information and tickets available online at ntbg.org and ticket outlets island-wide.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you. And this is Felicia, and we have a handful of different topics on the air today, but two of which will be guests that are running for political office.
Really? Two?
Two.
How exciting.
Yes, and there's one of them, Jonathan.
Hello. Jonathan Jay here.
Jonathan Jay, and the one that will be coming on at 5 o'clock is running in District 15 for the House of Representatives.
Oh, exciting.
Yes. So, Jonathan, you are running for Kauai Island Utility Cooperative Board of Directors.
You know, I would say last year I ran. This year it feels more like I'm standing.
You're standing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There hasn't really been much of a campaign season this year. It seems we had one debate or forum, and that was like maybe almost 2 months ago or so, it seems like. And then that's been it. There hasn't been a lot of outreach opportunity in the community.
And, I have noticed that. Last year we had quite a lot of activity over the whole election, and I had every single candidate that was running in here.
Yeah, I think the community can make better decisions when it has more information and has heard from more of the candidates. So I think that's a better way to go, and I look forward to contributing to that in the future.
Well, thank you for coming in. I have, for whatever it's worth, extended the invitation to all of the candidates.
That's great. Yeah, it's. But I don't think that many of them took you up on the opportunity.
Less than half.
That's too bad.
Yeah, less than half.
Yeah, KKCR is a great opportunity to speak with the community, and that's why I'm here today, to speak and to listen also. I hope there'll be lots of calls.
Well, it looks like there is a caller right now, and there will be one in just a moment. So tell us what the Board of Directors' responsibilities are.
Well, as I understand it, the primary responsibility of the Board of Directors is to act as facilitators to the members of the co-op so that they can get engaged, plug in, become educated, and to interact in a positive fashion with the co-op. Making energy is a complicated business, and KAIUC doesn't just make energy, but they also distribute it and get it to different houses across the island. So it's a complex task, and you need to have some paid professional engineers in order to get that job done correctly. And so it would be very difficult if every single person in the community tried to talk to the staff, the engineering staff at KAIUC. So what we have is a board of directors, and they're supposed to represent the people and facilitate them to get involved and interact in a positive and constructive fashion with our cooperative utility, so that together we can come up with an energy plan that is going to serve our island well, not just now, but for future generations.
So we had a caller that wanted to know, is the board of director position a paid position?
I believe it is. I think that directors get paid a stipend of approximately $200 a day for meetings. And I think there's usually about four or five or six meetings a month that directors have to attend to. And so the compensation for directors, it ranges, since not every director does the same amount of work, but it seems to range from about $15,000 to $25,000 at the end of the year.
All right. So, I mean, it's nice that actually a board of director is paid. That seems like probably a nominal amount for the amount of effort that they
take. Yeah, usually under $20,000 a year.
Yeah. I mean, so I want to extend a mahalo to all the people who do this job.
I think it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And then I think that in these years, even just running can be a thankless task.
It's not thankless, because I've been thanked by many people. Who've said they're really glad that I'm running, and that it gives them hope that people like me are running for KAIUC Board of Directors. But I've also gotten a lot of flack from people who I thought were allies, if you will, who've become concerned about the way the campaign has been run. And that's been very interesting to me and educational, and it's caused me to get kind of philosophical about the whole process.
What's wrong with how the campaign is being run?
Well,
you just got done saying you're hardly running a campaign. You're standing a campaign.
I'm standing for office. You put ideas out there and you hear back from people. And sometimes it's positive and sometimes it's not. And it's been an interesting experience for me to deal with some critiques that I've never had to experience before. I'm a pretty likable person, and so I usually have a positive impact on people, and that's how people usually respond to me. That's how I perceive it. But it's been interesting. Evidently, I rub some people the wrong way, and it's a learning opportunity. I try and really listen to what those people have to say, since that's new information to me.
Well, I'm sorry that it's been a little bit difficult. Always my heart goes out to people when they are running for office, because just running takes a lot of chi, as they might say in Eastern philosophy, a lot of energy, a lot of emotional power to put yourself out there. And so when people are doing that, it's usually because they want to make a change.
Well, I can't speak for other people, but I can speak for myself. And my desire to run for KAIUC Board of Directors has been to try and make positive change in our community, to try and bring some ideas forward that I think would serve us as a community in terms of our relationship to power, and then also our power relations, the way we deal with one another, the way we work together to make decisions for the benefit of our community.
So I've heard that you're saying you want to make it more of a cooperative.
I think that as a cooperative, KAIUC presents a tremendous opportunity to our island and our community. If KAIUC were a for-profit, privately owned company, they could do whatever they wanted to as long as they were turning a profit. That's not the case. KAIUC is a utility cooperative, and that means that the people are the members, are the co-owners of the entire institution, that ultimately they are accountable to us for how they operate and how power is utilized on the island. So that's a great opportunity for local governance, self-governance. It's a great opportunity for people to get involved in decision-making that affects our lives on a day-to-day basis, and in a way that many communities don't have that opportunity. So I think it's a tremendous boon. The potential is a tremendous boon to all of Kauai. I just think that we haven't been able to receive the advantages of KIUC being a co-op yet, because in the first decade of its existence, KIUC has kind of been hunkered down and focused on just making sure that it's a solid business. And I think they've done a pretty good job. I think it's a pretty solid business. And now I think that in the next decade, KIUC needs to turn its attention to the business of becoming a co-op.
Okay. So being a co-op, that means being responsive to the people.
Mm-hmm. And but more so than that, it means recognizing that you are serving the people, that in the hierarchy of relationships, that the members exist on top, and that the company, the entity, KIUC, exists to serve the broad community, the broad membership. And so that's a fundamental philosophical difference, and I think it's really important that the people in our community understand that, because that's the only way we're ever going to have a cooperative that meets our community's needs.
And we have Wendell in the studio with us. Wendell, how are you? Are you mic'd up?
Aloha.
There you are. So, Wendell,
aloha,
too,
Wendell.
If you have any, because Wendell lives on the west side, mm-hmm. and you live closer to the power plant and the power industry, and there's a lot of solar farms going on over there. And then there's also, Wendell and I were at a meeting yesterday, and we were learning about, were you at the meeting when they were talking in the biomass facility about all the new jobs? Were you at that meeting?
No, I was not.
Okay, we were hearing some really interesting things about the biomass facility and actually offering like 75 ag jobs and like these 6 months worth of training and 13 admin jobs. And do you know much about the biomass facility?
I know a little bit about it. One of the things I like very much about it is I think it's a fundamental step in the right direction, because it's energy being generated here on the island from our island's own natural resources. And that's a very good thing. That means for every kilowatt of energy being generated at the biomass, would you call that a farm or a factory or plant, I guess? That means we don't have to import diesel fuel from somewhere else in the world. That's Kauai standing up on its own two legs, providing energy for itself. And the other thing I like about the biomass plant is that there's a lot of jobs associated with it. You know, you have a solar farm. Okay, great. You got the panels. They sit out there in the sun. They soak it up. But you hardly need more than like one or two guys to go around with a squeegee and keep the panels clean. That doesn't create a lot of jobs on the community. It keeps the island's energy dollars on the island, and that's a good thing. But biomass is creating jobs here as well. And that's what we need, to have living wage jobs that people can have, that they can afford to raise their families on and stay here on Kauai. That's very, very important. And I think that creating living wage jobs is a responsibility of large institutions like KIUC, because it's one of the seven cooperative principles of caring for our community. That's a way they can show they care.
Well, one thing I have noticed, because I've looked at through their website pretty well, and there's a number of people there that are really very well compensated.
And
so
I think that's great. I wish
like about 60 some odd people, or
66 was the number that I'm familiar with. 66 people at KIC who are making in excess of $100,000 a year. And I think that KIC is to be commended for providing so many well-paying jobs to the people who help keep the lights on and the power running around the island. I think they've done a great job for their employees. Now I think it's time for KIUC and those employees to do a great job for everyone else here on Kauai, so that we can all benefit from KIUC to the same degree they are.
And you're listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea with Kauai Soapbox Live, and Jonathan Jay is in the studio with Wendell and I, talking about his run for KIUC Board of Directors. There are, I believe, 13 people running?
11.
11.
Yeah, 11. As many time zones as there used to be in the old Soviet Union.
You are always filled with interesting facts. So there are three incumbents, Phil
yep.
Takbian, David Iha.
And Teofili. Oh, wait, you said Phil Takbian. And then Peter Yukimura. Yeah, they've all been there for 8 or 9 years each, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Approximately as long as we've had KIUC on the island.
So they're part of the founding group.
They are, and they've done a great job. You know, the fiscal posture of KIUC is excellent. It's robust. It's a very financially healthy organization, as far as I can understand. And so I think it's now time for our community to thank them for the great work they've done.
And then, so when we're speaking about cooperative issues, that's being more receptive to the membership. That's, and then I had Adam Asquith on the show here. Mm-hmm. He did a pretty strong testament. We've had several people. I've had Neil Shantara and Adam Asquith. I believe Jimmy Trujillo and Daniel Erickson were on a different show, on a Thursday show. And I do extend, for anybody else that is running for office, you can come in, or if you would like to call in even now. I certainly, this is intended as an opportunity for interested people on the island to ask questions of the candidate and, you know, to give some feedback on, you know, what's important. So in membership, how would you create a structure that is more receptive to the membership? How do you think you would make that difference?
Oh, if I was on the board.
If you were on the board.
If I were on the board, I would be going out into the community on a regular basis and soliciting feedback from the members about how they feel the KIC is operating as a co-op. And one way to do that, I think, would be a membership survey to discover, well, how satisfied are KIC members with the service the KIC has been providing. I don't think that we know. I mean, we know that KIC knows whether people pay their bills or not on time. They know that, but they don't know how happy they are with the way KIC operates. And they hear from time to time from individuals who aren't unhappy with aspects of how KIC is run. Like there was a whole big conflict about the smart meters and whether that was a wise purchase for KIC or not. But most of the criticism or feedback that they heard, they were able to deflect and say, oh, this is just from a small minority of people. This isn't the way the broad membership feels. Well, let's find out. Let's stop telling everyone how they feel. Let's ask people how they feel. And then we can listen, and then we can find out. And I'm sure a lot of people are very content with how KIC operates, and that's because they do a pretty good job in a number of areas. And I'm also quite clear that there are a number of places where KIC could improve dramatically. Let's stop arguing about that. Let's agree that things can get better, and let's figure out together how we're going to get that done. Because, you know, this is a small island, and there's nobody here but the 65,000 people who are here. So at the end of the day, we've got to figure it out and get it done together. I mean, there's nobody else here but us. So let's do that.
So if you'd like to call in, it's 826-7771 is a good way to be able to be participating on this question. And, Jonathan, I spaced on my question there.
What? You're trying to ask me a question of something?
Yeah, I had a strong question on something that you were just saying.
Well, I could go on to say that one of the things that I've learned in the last couple of months is that there's a lot of really talented and Akamai people on the island who come from a wealth of different perspectives and backgrounds, and that's not something that I had appreciated as well before I ran. I have a great deal of respect for people who work inside KIC, and the skills and talents and experiences that they bring to bear. I just think that we could do even better if we were all joining forces rather than butting heads. And I'd like to take responsibility for some of my statements, which I believe haven't been interpreted very well, but I guess I could have been more clear in what I was saying in terms of working together to build a better co-op.
There have been many new directions of putting in power. Like, I've had a lot of calls about the Department of Hawaiian Homelands, the mm-hmm. solar facility that
sure,
is going on in Anahola. I think that is a done deal, but that's an area of concern. Because not so much that people don't want a power facility, it's right there.
Do they want that one right there built in that fashion? And I know the community in Anahola was pretty divided about that. I really think that KIC, instead of pushing forward on their agenda to build something at any cost should listen a lot more deeply to the things that people say in the community. And I bet you that a better version of that project could have been designed from the feedback that they got from the community rather than just pushing ahead with what they had. Sure, it's great to have solar power on the island. Sure, it's great because every drop of sunshine is a drop of diesel fuel that we don't have to import. That's great. I don't think anybody would argue with that. But at the same time, we're talking about a 70-acre facility on lands that are ag or perhaps more appropriate for housing. I know there's a lot of people in the Anahola community who are looking forward to getting off the wait list and getting into their homes, and I'm not sure that this solar project is going to accelerate that for them. So, this is just one example among many where, okay, yes, this project has some positives, but could we come up with something even better? Could we come up with a win-win-win scenario rather than just like a win-win-lose or a win-win-wait?
That's a very interesting way of framing it. You've done many other things, like Zero Waste Kauai.
Mm-hmm, yeah, Zero Waste. That's a really fantastic organization here on the island. And one of the things I love so much about Zero Waste is it takes the, for folks who don't know, Zero Waste is a solid waste activist group on the island who's trying to confront the issues of our own waste and how we're going to deal with it here on this, on our little island. And rather than trying to come up with new ways to deal with all of our quote-unquote garbage, they are taking a very radical approach to it, and they're saying, well, wait a second, maybe this isn't garbage. Maybe these materials have other use, and maybe if we got smarter about stuff, we could pull all of these things out of the so-called waste stream and create productive byproducts like building topsoil or creating materials to recycle paper, and the list goes on and on. But what I like about that is it takes the old way of looking at garbage and it turns it upside down, and you get a lot of new insights that way. It's called Zero Waste because the goal is to have no waste whatsoever and to make use of everything, and that seems pretty smart to me.
Yeah, and we do have a caller on the line. Aloha, thank you for holding. You're on the air. Hello? Oops, I lost him. But maybe that's him. Aloha, you're on the air.
Okay, thank you. I think I get cut off.
Sorry.
Jonathan, thanks for being on the air. You're obviously one of the candidates that doesn't have anything to hide, so I really appreciate you coming out and standing in the public eye.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I don't think that anybody benefits from any kind of timidity. Our energy situation is serious. The next 20 years on Kauai are going to be really ground-shaking, and we can be on the right side of that or the wrong side of that, depending on what we do now.
You're right, and rats only operate in the dark, so let's everybody stand in light. But I thought a concern that kind of came to mind, and I hope I can articulate it properly. I didn't take any notes, but I think it really started to concern me during the free flow power debacle and the idea that only people with a utility bill in their name get to vote. It's kind of like saying only if you pay a certain amount of taxes can you vote for the president or the governor or something. Because whether we pay the electric bill or not, I think it concerns everybody where the utility lines are, where the power, how the power is made. There's so many issues that go way beyond paid membership. And we all use electricity. I think we all, not we all, but many of us use electricity at least partially and have a deep concern on where electricity comes from and how it's delivered and all that. And I mean, just like the free flow power thing, where they were going to make decisions that was going to affect the entire watershed of the island. I mean, the watershed that every bit of life depends on, to just have votes like that, put in the hands of only those who pay the bill, just seems sort of absurd. And I wonder if you could address that issue.
Well, I thank you, Colin. I think that's a really great point.
I'll go off the air if that's it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'd really like to applaud you there. Sure. There's about 65,000 or 70,000 folks who live on the island, men, women, and children, and only about 25,000 of us are members at KIUC. So already you're talking about only one-third of the island. One of the responsibilities that KIUC has as a cooperative is to do right by the community. And one of the ways in which I think that they made a good move a couple of years ago is that it used to be the case that at KIUC monthly meetings that only members could speak. And that was amended, I believe, by a vote. And Stu Burley, I think, was one of the directors at that time and said, hey, let's listen to everybody. I think that's a very good first step. I think that to the extent that KIUC can make itself accountable to and be of service to the broader community, the better of a job it will be doing. And that's I don't know the easy answer to how to get more people voting. I think there's bylaws and I think there's legal restrictions. But I think that I think we can do better. I definitely think we can do better, and especially if we're trying to.
And we have a couple of callers. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
I was listening to you guys as I was driving.
Can you speak firmly into the phone?
Yes. I just got home from a long day of work. I've been driving. I was listening to you guys' show. I have a couple of different things. One thing that's still, like, I'm going to go to first is that the however many jobs, 14, 16, 66 people making over $100,000, is that correct, what you said?
Yeah, you can check it out on the KIUC website.
I think that is insane. That is ridiculous.
Well, it's certainly a very healthy compensation for a great number of people.
And I think it's way too much. We're a cooperative. There are people on this island that struggle daily. That many people, I mean, nobody needs to be making that much money, let alone 66 people on the island of Kauai.
Well, I think that, you know, it's a little tough how most of us live, and so that is something that I did see on a blurb back and forth on a blog site about it being a nonprofit, because in a nonprofit, how do you deal with the excess in income? I don't have a problem with people being paid well. Some of them are paid very well. I like that they take care of their employees, but it is interesting how heavily compensated many people are. So,
how does that strike you, caller?
I think over $100,000 is excessive. I think that's an I mean, I live on a little bit more than half of that.
I think one of the things that's a big challenge for people who are comfortably well off like that is it's difficult for them to have a really good understanding of what it's like for other people who aren't so blessed in terms of the amount of money they make. And so I think that in a certain kind of a way, it distances us from each other.
And, well, the thing is, too, if that was private industry, that would be one thing. It's not private industry. It's a cooperative. We are paying their salaries. If all the rest of us are struggling and we're paying their salaries, I don't think so.
Well, thank you for your opinion.
Thank you. And that's only one thing I have to say.
What was the second point you wanted
to make? Well, that's just like the first thing. The second thing is it cannot be a true cooperative until everybody who uses electricity gets a say and a vote.
I would agree with you.
And I know my landlord does not vote the way that I would vote.
You live in an apartment and you have...
I live in a house, but I rent, and the bill goes to him.
So you're paying for the electricity.
I'm paying for it, yes.
But you don't have a vote.
Yeah, like he just sent me the latest bill that I have to pay. There's two of us in this household. Okay, there's two of us in this household. We're gone all day. Even now, like, as I look around, there's no light on. The only thing on in this whole house is my son's computer. And our bill was $150.
Do you have your water heater on a timer? Is it an electric water?
No, it's a solar water heater. Yeah.
Good for you. That's the biggest first thing.
Before my landlord did that, I used to have it when it was electric.
And I bet your bill's gone down.
I bought a timer, and I paid a friend to put it in. Now it's solar.
Good for you, caller.
Well, not me. Thank God my landlord did that.
And I need to say you're listening to Kauai Soapbox Live on KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, Jonathan J., Kauai Island Utility Cooperative's Board of Director candidate, is in here. Next question, caller, and then I have someone holding.
Okay. Just so if you get in, that's something we need to shift and change is how votes are carried out through KIUC.
I agree with you, and I would say...
I would vote for you, and I don't know if my landlord is going to.
Well, I would agree with you 100%, and I will admit that I do not know the easy answer to address that. But I do know that if we decide to make it a priority as a cooperative, we can make progress towards that. And I think that's what we need to do.
Thank you, caller.
Can I make one comment to the caller?
Oh, yes. Okay, I'll leave around.
I just want to mention that...
I can't hear him.
I just wanted to mention that some of those...
I still can't hear him. He's got to get a mic or something.
Oh, wait, hold on a second. You got to punch the button on him, Felicia.
He's on. Oh, right there.
There you go.
Okay. I just wanted to make a comment. Some of those positions that are highly paid are very high-risk positions. People have died on the job, being electrocuted and all kinds of injuries handling all of the large equipment. So sometimes $100,000 to the families who have lost their loved ones is very difficult. Even at $100,000, it's not enough.
Okay, and I would.
But anyway, not every job is that way.
No, but I would agree with you on that. That are all 66 jobs like that?
No, not every job is that way.
I mean,
many are.
So we need to take a. I guess what needs to happen is maybe the co-op needs to take a look at who is compensated and for what.
Well, can I jump in here, caller?
Because I have no problem with someone with a high risk job getting paid well.
And I'd like to jump in and just say I have no problem with people who are highly technically skilled being appropriately compensated for the value they can bring to our community. My question is, are we getting that value? You know, we pay some of the highest electricity bills in the nation. Are we getting some of the very best electrical service in the nation? You know, for me, it's not a question of how much. It's more a question of value.
That's true. And I guess that's where my brain was. When I was thinking that, why I got, kind of haput is because that's where I went. I'm not seeing the value of those people that are getting the $100,000 when we are paying astronomical bills. We're only just now starting to really move forward in non-gasoline
alternatives. And we are moving forward in them. I have just a little bit of feedback on that, too. I want to say where I appreciate and am willing on that expensive amount. I just think it's interesting how highly paid people are.
It's more than one-third of the workforce at KAC.
But perhaps that is why we have really good power with very little outage, with, very little mistakes. People aren't working three jobs. They're not, totally exhausted. So,
right.
So many people are working two or three jobs, so they're starving, or they can hardly get out the door. And even living on half that isn't that easy. Right. So thank you, caller. I have another caller holding.
No, but I didn't get to make my third point because the other guys jumped in.
Okay. Well, he had a great point, though. Okay.
No, it was. It was very,
very important.
No, it was very important. I'm
so quickly state your third point.
Is this whole thing with the smart meters that there was little investigation into them. It's a cooperative, but there was no cooperative in the decision-making with them. It was just like, here you go. You got to take it or else. And, yes, we'll take this. And now guess what? Now that you didn't take it, now you're going to have to pay us every month extra money.
Yeah, I think that all could have been handled in a much different and better fashion. I think that when the co-op wants to make strategic choices for the membership like that, it would be very helpful if they went to the membership beforehand and then got buy-in from the members. And then as far as the smart meters and all the fees and stuff, if it is true that the co-op is saving money from the people who receive the smart meters, then why didn't the co-op just offer them a monthly discount? And if that had been the case, I don't think we would have had any of these problems.
Well,
so thank you, caller.
Well, there's a whole all of Santa Cruz County does not have them for the very fact that they did their research and they know they're dangerous. So we need to do our research better.
Yeah, there is a lot of pushback, without a doubt, on the smart meters.
So anyways, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, great. Yes, I have. Thank you for bringing up the smart meter.
And can you speak strongly into the phone, too, so the listeners can hear you?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I have a real strong feeling about the smart meters, being as I was hospitalized on the mainland unexpectedly. And luckily, I have not had a smart meter. Had I had a smart meter, they would have turned off my electricity and unannounced, because I had called KIUC, told them the situation,
What was your situation?
I was hospitalized.
Oh, okay.
And I told them the situation, that I was not there. I will send them a check as soon as I get back, and I'll pay for both months at the same time. I got back with the nastiest letters I've ever seen, that, you know, we will turn your, so everybody knows what a smart meter, if you don't pay your bill, they're going to cut you off from the office.
Yeah, they can do it remotely with a smart meter.
Exactly. And, you know, even though I told them the situation, I got late charges, everything. And it was incredible, like, had I had a smart meter, I would have come home to...
A black house, yeah.
Not a black house, but a refrigerator of dead food.
Mm.
You know, and
Have you taken this up with the complaint department or complaint resolution? Have you followed up with this? Because...
No, and I'm so happy you're running. But meanwhile, it's just... You've met me many times. But meanwhile, it's just another thing that people have to know. If you're a couple days late or a couple weeks late, they're going to cut back on your electricity, which I am very, very frugal. And the person ahead of me has two people in her house. I don't even put on a hot water heater. I'm looking to get solar.
You should do that. You should do it as fast as you can.
I'm on a limited income,
mm-hmm.
and I still got back. And the bill was astronomical, and I unplugged everything before I left. Unfortunately, I had a situation that I needed to be gone longer, and I called KIUC. I told the people. I told them, put it in my record. As soon as I get back in a week, I'll pay both months. But, oh, no, they were ready to come out and turn it off. But, see, now that they have to come out and turn it off, they don't want to come out and have to do that.
Well, I really encourage you to try and get resolution with KIUC. I think if you are diligent about it, and you should be able to make some progress. There are people at KIUC who do have hearts, and your situation seems like one.
Except, why didn't billing put it in my records? Because I've never had a late payment, and she told me just don't worry about it. You're fine. You've been with us for 30 years. And
so I'm sorry that you're having that. Thank you so much, caller. I have other people holding.
But meanwhile, you have to start letting people know with smart meters that, you know, you have control, that KIUC has control over your life.
Well, I wish you the best of luck with getting that resolve, caller.
Thank you.
We have another caller?
We do. Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia and Jonathan.
Aloha.
I've already voted for you, and I really hope that you and your consensus of preferred individuals, at least in my value system. What I'm really calling about specifically is, you know, I caught on Dr. Donna Kaplan's show on Monday.
Oh, right. Did you hear Diana Osterman?
Yeah, and I was wondering if they're, you know, just an aside, are they going to put on, like, the public access that presentation by those ladies?
I believe that is going to happen, yes.
Good. But anyway, you know, I caught the show and I didn't have a chance to call in, but the way they were characterizing the effects of the smart meters And this is what really concerns me. I mean, I've done everything. I'm calling, bending over because the cord's all kinky. I took my expensive, answering machine phone off.
You're talking on the princess phone right now,
exactly.
Correct?
And I don't have a computer. And I'm thinking about getting someone to come out and monitor my home situation in terms of electromagnetic radiation. But the thing is, unless there's a tremendous consensus of all the neighbors within a football field or two of my living space, I'm just wondering, will it be do me any good? You know,
I think that one of the ways to look at the smart meter problem or issue is the challenges that we have as a society with technology in general, and kind of a fundamentalist belief that technology is good and will save us so that we can just turn our brains off and not have to think anymore. I don't really think that is the case. I don't think technology can save us from ourselves, and I really wish that instead of investing in smart meters, that KIAC would invest in smart members, so that the membership is better informed and better able to make better choices about how we use energy, our relationship to energy, and ways in which we can use dramatically less energy. But it's very difficult for KIAC to do that because they make their money selling electricity. So it's a little bit almost schizophrenic to try and work against your own self-interest that way. But for the good of our community, that's what KIAC needs to do.
Well, in my own life, I've reconfigured my values the last several years, and so I'm more of a vague vegetarian vegan, so I try to eat most of my food raw, and last month my electric bill was $38.
That's impressive.
Yeah, and the whole thing is like, Powaniki, I built my first solar oven out of a box and a couple pieces of refrigerator glass, and then I called Jack Watt, and he gave me a satellite dish, and I made the new configuration of satellite solar oven. The main thing is you got to start early, and it does take a while. But the whole thing is, once I discovered that it's like anything that's roasted, baked, fried, of course, or broiled, produces a cancer-causing substance called acrylamide. Therefore, it behooves us to eat as much as our food raw, not only to save money, but it's better for our overall health. But best of luck, and I just hope that we can get some, Oliver Wendell Holmes, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court a few moons ago, said that the best disinfectant is sunlight. So I hope you bring sunlight, dude.
Well, thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Aloha, you're on the air.
Hello. I just want to ask a question, and then I'll take your answer off the air.
Sure.
Okay.
You ask me a question?
Why do we not have underground power lines when we are always having to repair power lines downed by, like, windstorms and hurricanes and the overtime that it must be paid out for the constant, the albezia limbs that fall on the power lines?
Sure.
Is there any thoughts towards underground power lines? And I'll take the answer off the air.
Thank you.
It's a simple answer, and it's a complicated answer all at the same time. The simple answer is it's very, very expensive to underground lines. I think it costs like $1 million a mile or something like that. So it's more cost effective to have lines on poles. Now, the way we string lines on poles, you can hang them vertically on the pole, which creates like a big net that catches birds as they try and pass through it. Or you can hang them horizontally, and that makes it easier for the birds to pass by. There are specific flight corridors in the island where the shearwaters are coming and going from their cliff faces out to the sea when they're fledging flight. And in places like that, it's even more expensive to leave the wires up, because then KIAC gets millions and millions of dollars of fines. So there are strategic places where it makes sense for KIAC to spend the money to underground the lines. And if it were cheaper, I think it might happen more often.
I think it would happen more often. I do know that fixing lines that break underground are much more difficult, mm-hmm, than when they break up top.
Absolutely.
I think that the power company really wouldn't have minded putting them under when they had to replace so much of the infrastructure right after Iniki, like
right.
70% of the poles were down.
Right.
It certainly was a conversation that happened.
Right. It's also quicker. It's also faster to string poles up on.
And when people do, I hear it repeatedly on the show, people saying too much was paid for KIUC, like mm-hmm. somebody was trying to pull a fast one.
Well, and I think this is a little bit before my time. I've been on the island 11 years. So I wasn't really around when KIUC was coming together, but it seems quite clear that a very handsome price was paid.
Well, when that was brought up, part of the problem was is there was so much debt because of that infrastructure replacement. And when people say we have such expensive electricity, part of that is because of the infrastructure replacement.
Yeah, and the debt that we incurred from the overmarket valuation of Citizens Electric.
Well, that was there, but I mean, like when I do hear that repeatedly said, why didn't we put it underground? And it was thought about, and like the town that I live in, Kilauea, didn't have power for about 2.5 months. There was a lot of really hard work to do, and it wasn't so easy just to do it. And the other interesting thing, of course, I would like it underground, but the other interesting thing was in Poipu, where it was underground. Still got all ripped up. It all got pulled up because of the ocean surge pulled everything out. And so it didn't work in that particular case, so it was still a problem. Wendell, do you find, you must know a lot of people on the west side that actually work in that industry. Do you have any questions for Jonathan that you think might be a good reflection? One of the reasons I have you up here is trying to bring in both sides of the of what's going on the island. Do you have any questions?
Just a comment. You know, I would like to see somebody like yourself, younger, instead of some of the people who are already on the board who've been there for ages and who are locked into a particular point of view. And so fresh eyes would definitely be a benefit. And with all of the information that's coming out about smart meters and the dangers of microwaves and...
There's a lot of concern about it. And there's a lot of industry information about it, you know, the science about it. And it's hard to understand. It's hard to wade through all of that and really understand because, and I think it's maybe similar to the way smoking used to be, 30, 40, 50 years ago, where you had all kinds of science from the tobacco companies telling you, oh no, it's good for your digestion, when people were beginning to discover that cigarette tobacco was quite dangerous for you. I think we're in a period now where it's not exactly clear if it's dangerous or not. Some people say it is, some people say it isn't. So it's hard to know. I'm not a scientist. It's hard to know. But what I do know is you can take a look at it and say, well, what are smart meters for? And they are enhanced billing devices for the utility to more effectively bill its customer base. And I don't know that that's where KIUC needs the most help.
And I have a public announcement, and then we have another caller. But around 5, a dog was found, black with some white, a whippet mix, medium size, faded pink collar, no tags, found near Powerline Trail on Kapaka Street in Princeville. Oh, this was actually found Sunday night, March 2nd, at approximately 10:30 p.m. So if you find this little dog, doesn't say if it's a girl or a boy, call Brian at 639-6097. I guess this dog's been missing for 2 days. So we have another caller.
The dog.
They found it?
He found the dog.
Oh, he found the dog. Okay.
All
right.
I'm the owner. Sorry.
Okay.
That's why I underlined
he found the dog. So if somebody is missing this dog, please call Brian, 639-6097, black and white whippet mix, more black than white, medium size, faded pink collar, no tags, Princeville, near the Powerline Trail. We have another caller.
Oh, well, were you done? It seemed like you wanted to make another point, though.
It can wait.
Okay.
It's a different subject.
Okay.
You're on the air.
Is Wendell done?
He says yes.
Oh, okay. One more quick comment on the question. The comment is regarding salaries, including the CEOs, but what about putting them out for bid like we do for contracts and take qualified individuals who can bid the job at the lowest acceptable price?
For these dangerous jobs or for the administrative jobs? Or
for all of the jobs, being a cooperative. We could take bids for all the jobs or, you know, start with the ones that concern us the most, but it's just an idea anyway. And then a comment or question. It seems like some of the issues involved around KIUC, we've got smart meters included and especially, it seemed like the board members had almost a really vested interest in their point of view, considering that they should make the same salary whether they get their way or not. I just wonder what could possibly be at stake that had them so emotionally charged and attached to their decisions, not ours. You know?
Yeah, that's an interesting philosophical question, which you probably have to ask each and every one of them to get an answer from them. I can give you my two cents from the outside, which, you know, I'm probably incorrect. But what I perceive to be going on is it has to do with who's making the decisions and who has the authority and who how they view their position. It seems to me that the way the board functions in the real world, not how it maybe it's supposed to function, but they seem to be an insulator between the community and the utility itself. They seem to be a barrier to community and membership involvement and engagement with our co-op. And maybe a lot of education needs to happen on all sides. Maybe we can come to a new place. One thing I've discovered is that just sort of observing that and making that critique doesn't seem to be very helpful. So I've been trying to reimagine ways in which that challenge can be addressed and resolved in a fashion that's going to benefit our community. And I'm still looking for some solutions there.
Maybe the softening of some egos or the replacement of people with more humility might allow them to be a conductor rather than an insulator.
That's a good metaphor there for
all right.
Electricity.
Well, thanks so much. I'll let you carry on. Aloha.
Okay, aloha.
Just another comment on the wages. It's my understanding that Citizens Utility and KIUC pattern their compensation structure in alignment with Hawaiian Electric in Oahu.
Mm.
And, you know,
cost of living is a little higher over there.
Yeah, but, you know, that's what... that's what they pattern their wages upon.
So they're working to attract the talent? They're trying to be in alignment with the industry?
Not sure. Just that, you know, they are using the Hawaiian Electric negotiations for wages as a pattern for the wages that they're giving.
Well, there's lots of good reasons to pay people well to get the job done right. I think that the question that a lot of people here on Kauai are wondering is, are we getting the super fantastic utility that we're paying for? Because we're paying a super fantastic price for it. Are we getting a super fantastic result from that? And I think that KIUC does a lot of things right, but I think that shouldn't be a barrier to striving to do more things better.
I think an important thing to bear in mind is that we are a really isolated island.
We are.
And this is a very unique power company that is sitting all on its own like the
yep.
other islands do too. But even Hawaii Electric, you know, it's the other islands.
Mm-hmm.
And so KIUC operates completely independently, 2,500 miles away from, you know, the next major continent. You know, we have in Hawaii.
There are real challenges here.
So, like, I wanted to just say that I feel responsible, but I don't want to, because I brought up the wage for a moment there, saying that they do pay people well, and I don't want to be inferring that.
Implying
that we would expect to have the same electric rate as someplace like in Nebraska or Oklahoma that's right in the middle of a big
grid.
Yeah,
it's impossible.
And right near the access to oil.
Sure.
And, you know,
pipelines and
pipelines, everything
sure.
like that.
Economies of scale.
And then really in the other
cooperatives,
very few of them actually produce their power. They simply are a power distribution company.
Right, and it's easy for them to buy spot power on the open market.
Right.
That's
so
not the case here.
There's an awful lot that's going on here.
There are real challenges here, and it's not easy. But I think that because of those real challenges and because of the difficulty of the energy challenges that we face here is that we need to get more people thinking about it and not just people who are on the inside of KIUC. There's 65,000 other people on the island, 65,000 other people on the island, and if we start working together and really pooling our imagination and our human resources, we're going to come up with even better solutions, and that's going to serve everyone. And that's really what I have strived to make my prime message. But it, I have discovered it's very difficult to make oneself understood well.
Mm-hmm. There's a caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, okay, Jonathan, can you address this bylaw about board members where if you're a member of the board, you have to vote unanimously with the rest of the board or else you're penalized with not only monetarily but possibly jail time?
Sure. The philosophy, as I understand it, with this, first let me back up and let me say that what the policy is presently at KIUC is that if an issue comes up before the board and it's discussed and debated and then a vote goes down, let's say there's 9 people on the board, let's say the vote is 6-3 and they decide to go ahead with some project, what they are expecting and desiring is that once the vote has been had, all directors, regardless of whether they were pro or con to that position, will go out and support that position because that's the position that the board has as a whole decided. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, okay, I didn't agree with this policy, but that's what the policy is, and I'm going to do my best to help make it be a success. I don't have any problem with that, but I do have a problem with, and I do think it's a disservice to the membership, to therefore just quote-unquote, toe the line and never even let people know that there was a discussion or a debate or a difference of opinion. I think you can have difference of views and still be supportive of the policy.
And we are just about at the top of the hour. Jonathan, do you have any final thoughts, thoughts that you want to leave the listener with in terms of your election?
Well, I was just going to say to finish up on this difference of opinion, we have a Supreme Court that's the highest court in all the land for our law, and they come up with decisions, and sometimes they're 5-4, but you always get a minority opinion. You always get a voice, so you can understand the logic and the thinking behind what the debate was, what the discussion was, what the pros and cons were. It doesn't change what the law ultimately is. They still, you know, the majority still has sway, but I think it is really helpful for people to understand the thoughts that went into what the discussion was about, what the key points were, and so I think I can leave that at that.
Okay.
What I do want to invite people to is, of course, to vote in this election. You have until this Saturday at noon to vote, and you can go online to alohavote.com. And punch in there. There's a telephone number you can call if you need help, but that's alohavote.com. And then at Saturday at noon at Small Town Coffee, win, lose, or draw, we're going to be having kind of a party, a celebration, to invite everybody who is involved in this very important discussion on power and how it's generated and how we make decisions on the island at Small Town Coffee. And that's going to be from noon to 2:30. All the candidates are invited. Anybody who wrote a letter into the editor is invited. Anybody who understands the importance that power has on our island and sees the need for us to come together as a community and build a better co-op, you're welcome to come on down. We're going to have poo-poos and drinks, and I think there should be some music and some speaking. It should be a good time. And the election results will be known that day. So win, lose, or draw, I think it's an important discussion that the community has had, and I'm very happy to have been a part of it. I hope that my running has inspired other people to say, wow, if Jonathan Jay can do it, well, gosh, I can too. And I think that would be really a positive benefit for our community.
Well, thank you, Jonathan Jay, candidate for Quiet Island Utility Cooperative Board of Directors. So I appreciate your coming in here to Kauai Soapbox Live. This is Felicia, and Wendell is also here. And this is KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K284AL, Haleiwa. This program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Bali High Realty, Anahola Stringed Instruments, Aya's Garden, and Al Pastor Tacos.
Coldwell Banker, Bali High Realty, and Hanalei, serving Kauai since 1978, providing personalized real estate sales and rental services. Coldwell Banker, Bali High Realty, also supports KKCR and the Kauai Independent Food Bank. More information at balihigh.com or by calling 826-7244.
Anahola Stringed Instruments is proud to support KKCR. Mickey Sussman has been building Island Koa guitars, ukulele, and violins on Kauai since 1972. Time-honored designs and special orders. Prompt and complete restoration, repair, and reforestation. AnaholaStringedInstruments.com or 822-1645.
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply. In Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Al Pastor Tacos supports KKCR across the street from the craft fair in Kapa'a by the beach. Al Pastor Tacos serves fresh grilled local fish, steak, chicken, and pork tacos, and burritos in the Al Pastor style. Also a garden salad and choices for the kids. Open every day from 11 to 4. Takeout orders welcome. Al Pastor Tacos, authentic Mexican food. 652-6953.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. So, this is election season, and we have another candidate in here for District 15 representative, yes?
District 15, papers have been pulled. I have to see a notary tomorrow, so technically it'll be filed this week.
Kalua, Lihui, Hanama'ulu, how far does District 15 go?
District 15 to the west, or I guess towards the North Shore, would go as far as Wailua Homesteads, which is Hawiki, Waipoli area, but not the Kapahi area. And then includes the river lots, but not the house lots. And then Olive, Hanama'ulu, Lihui, Puhi, Omau, and Lawai, Makai side.
So now that
Not Kaloa, no.
Is that on the western?
That's District 16.
District 16, okay. So now that we know where we're talking about, why don't you tell us who you are and what we're talking about.
Okay, well, my name's Steve Yoder, and I'm planning on running, in fact, filing papers this week to serve in the House of Representatives in the state representative, District 15. Kauai is divided up into three districts, 14, which we're in right now, on the North Shore, Haena down to Kapahi, including Wailua House Lots. And then there's 15, the one that I'm wanting to serve in. And then, of course, there's 16, basically Kaloa and Kalaheo going out to the west side. So I'm just a little thumbnail print of myself. I've lived in Kauai since we first moved to Kauai in 1970. We bought a place here in 1965. I'm a proud graduate of Kapa'a High School in 1972. And Wendell, where did you go to high school?
Iolani.
Well, okay. You might know a friend of mine named Mark. But anyway, so Kauai's been my home. Left in 72 to go to college in Texas. Went to a little Bible college. And my work has been in the ministry for so many years. United Airlines, where Wendell worked next door to me there at the county at Aloha. Koa trading for Peter Yukimura. Real estate.
Oh, yeah. So it's such a small community.
Yeah, it's real estate with Pete Fisher and with North Shore Properties. Used to work with Jim Pika and, help me out, Hawaii Life.
Would that be Neil Norman?
Yep, Neil Norman. You know, we're associates there at that at that place. And then, you know, selling timeshare at the Mackay Club for the Hannons. And then presently, I've, for the last 20 years, actually, it'll be August 29th, it'll be 20 years I'll make it at what is now called Kauai North Shore Limousine. It used to be Dave Saman's business that he started. He hired me back in 94. So I've been taking people on tours for 20 years now, you know, transportation things. So that's been my background. So, but I have a love of the island. I purposely moved back here. I took a great pay cut to move back. And so I'm happy to be back. Been back since 1987, December 1. And I'm interested in running for public office.
So running for public office is a pretty big deal. We were just speaking with Jonathan Jay, who's running for the board of directors on the power company, and even that, you know, has a lot of contention around an office run. Hopefully everybody has a smooth sailing experience, but what is your motivation for running for House of Representatives? What changes would you like to see?
My vote motivation basically comes from a conservative attitude of paying less taxes, that the government who governs least governs best. I think we spend far too much on government. And you always hear it said, Felicia and Wendell, that we need to invest more in this. And it sounds great, but every time you hear the word investment, folks, what you're hearing is cha-ching, cha-ching, and you're going to be taking less money home because the government's taking more. There's an old joke that says, hi, I'm with the government, I'm here to help you. And people laugh, but it's amazing how often people turn to government to seek solutions, when it can be found more through private enterprise and charity groups as far as welfare is concerned.
So are you on the Republican ticket? Are you on the Libertarian ticket, the Republican ticket?
Republican ticket, definitely leaning very strong Libertarian. But a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Conservative.
Conservative.
Tea Party, taxed enough already.
Tea Party.
Even though it's not a technical party, it's just a grassroots level. It's not a party like the Republican Libertarian Party, nor the Democratic Party. It's just a grassroots belief that you guys remember the movie Network?
I do.
Remember the guy in the TV newsroom that said into the TV camera, "I'm mad as hell, and
yes,
I'm not
going
to take it anymore."
Mm-hmm.
So here's could be possibly the committee name, Felicia. It's from that Network show. "I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore." Friends of Steve Yoder.
So what are you mad about?
I think we pay far too much in taxes. Presently, and I'm not too sure of the percentage, but I think it's pretty close to half of the GET goes to pay for education in the state of Hawaii. We are presently paying, I think, approximately $15,000 a head for each student.
That doesn't sound right.
Okay, it may not be right, but I know it's more than $10,000.
I will look that up. I'm going to fact check you on that at one point.
But we are spending, if I may finish, we're spending more, I think, than practically any other state is per cap per student, yet we have less to show for it. You can educate your child in private education, but there's no tax benefits for people who want to raise their children in private education like I did my own, or homeschool. But we still have to pay and fund for the public education.
Well, I know I used to be the chair of the school community council for Kapahai, and so was responsible for that financial plan. And then I also was the chair for the youth council for the county. And I tell you what, every year, the amount that gets invested in our kids gets squeezed and squeezed and squeezed till what goes to the school is about one-third of what is the tuition at a place like Island School, where they're not overpaid either.
Okay. What I'm talking about is the money that goes into the education coffers. We're the only state in the United States that has one school district for the entire state, which leaves no autonomy for, let's say, a parent at middle school Kapaa or Chiefus, which would be in – Chiefus would be more my district, but middle school is just a little bit out of it, but it would still be in the same area, where if a person has a problem with what's happening there within the school, it's a hierarchy. And you never see, Wendell, people who are in the hierarchy of education, the Department of Education, protesting for higher wages. It's always the teacher. But the people who are making all the big bucks, and I'm not against people making big bucks. I'm all for it. But the people, they're not protesting for more pay because they're getting plenty. It's the people who are on the ground level where the rubber meets the road. So, but the answer isn't just investing more money in education. It sounds good, but it's not practical. It doesn't work. And Felicia, if I can say this, by throwing money at something doesn't make it work, especially if government's in charge.
Yes, I'm looking. It's kind of a difficult element to look at because, you know, you can have an average that's in there, and so we have what's called the weighted student formula. So if you're looking at a healthy student versus a special needs student, they have very different amounts. Plus, what goes to the school versus what goes through all the infrastructure
exactly.
at the superintendent level. The bureaucracy
Thank
is
you.
A big piece of it. I do have a caller for you. Hold on.
Okay.
Aloha, you're on the air.
Yo, what's up? Who's this?
Felicia.
Oh, hi, Felicia.
And you're speaking to Kauai Soapbox Live, and Steve Yoder, running for House of Representatives, is in here, and Wendell...
State House.
Hi, Steve Yoder.
What's up?
Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Huh?
Go ahead.
This is Jacob from Oahu.
Boy, you sound like Steve. Go ahead.
No, I'm actually Jacob from Oahu. Yeah.
Jacob.
So what's up? Yay, I'm glad we got an Oahu call.
Oh, not that. I'm just... hanging out at home, you know.
Do you have a call for the show? Do you have a question?
So, how are the schools, going to pay off all the money, you know? You know, how they're going to, pay off all the, the education, how they're going to, pay the education for the students or do you know how they're gonna pay the teachers or something?
Okay, so you're wondering how Jacob, are you asking how they acquire the money to pay the teachers?
How do they acquire the money to pay the teachers?
Here's how they acquire it. They acquire it every time that you buy something through purchasing a product or a service. If you subscribe to cable, you pay a 4% general excise tax on it. Why is the only state that has a general excise tax? Everything is literally taxed here. No other states like that, especially food and medical. We're the only state that taxes for that.
But we have income taxes also.
State income tax.
And then things like police tickets, traffic tickets, all that goes into the general fund.
I think KPD is strictly county. I'm sure there may be
what
some
is
funds.
KPD?
Kauai Police Department. But basically, to answer your question, Jacob, the way that my present understanding, and I appreciate people fact-checking me, and I don't mind being corrected when I'm wrong, but I think presently the general excise tax, the 4% tax, Jacob, that you pay for products and services in the state of Hawaii is how we fund education. I'm not too sure it's all done by state income tax. There may be something goes to it.
What are you running for? Are you running for state house?
Yes, and there's 51 districts in the state of Hawaii. Seven are held by Republicans.
So are you running in the election or something? Or?
Yes, and we're going to take the rest of the call off the air, okay?
Okay, I was just wondering,
Sure, so you can, Steve, explain to him again what...
His basic question I understood, Felicia, was that how do teachers get paid? Where do they get the money from? And it comes from, I believe the majority of our education comes from the general excise tax. I think about half of it, nearly half of it, is funded. Now, over in Oahu, they pay 4.5 because they're paying for the rail. So theirs is 4.5. Ours is 4.
Okay. And then, so that's the biggest piece of the income that is going towards the budget for the state, is the general excise tax?
Is for education, I believe. But no, we pay also the highest state income tax in the United States. We're even higher than California. Hawaii is one of the 5 most heavily taxed states in the United States. Our property taxes are low, but if you take all the taxes that we pay, 4% sounds low to many tourists, but they don't realize we have to pay 4% on everything. If you take the idea of paying 4% on everything, it's a whole lot more than paying 8% on a few things.
Yes, even services, a lot of the hidden cost has it.
Yeah.
We have another caller.
Okay.
Thank you. You're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia and Stephen. The question I have, but first a brief comment. It seems that when Hawaii became a state in 59 until Gulf War I, the state was growing at 5% a year. Since that time, Hawaii has not really been growing at 5% a year. So my specific question for Mr. Yoder is, what would he do specifically to create more jobs in Hawaii Nei?
Okay.
Thank you.
I think I recognize that voice, but I'll refrain from using the first name because if they don't volunteer it. The question is, why are we flatlining as the economy? actually, the Hawaiian Islands are doing fairly good. We have a 4.5% unemployment rate. At the best, I remember it was during the George W. Bush years of his second term when it was 2% here on the island of Kauai. There'll always be some people who do not work. There's people who are retired. There's people who choose to live on welfare. They don't want to basically believe in sustainability.
Well, I'm going to give you a little pushback.
But let me finish answering his question. The reason why we're flatlining is because whenever you charge businesses too much in fees, regulations, bureaucratic restrictions, plus you tax the economy too much, whenever you take money out of your private, the people who create money is not the government. I cannot create jobs to the caller, and I think he understands that. I can only, as a legislature, set up conditions where your money is your money. The government presently, my belief, has a view that the money that you make, Felicia and Wendell, and to the callers and to those who are listening, is really theirs. They call tax loopholes. They make it sound insidious. A tax loophole is a tax credit. It's called Schedule C. It's like, Wendell, I don't know if you're purchasing your home, but that's a terrible loophole because you get to write off the interest. Or if you give to a charitable organization, those are all called loopholes. What loopholes do, and they sound bad, but they're good, because what they do is they stimulate the economy. I'm willing to buy a house because at least I can write off the interest. I'm paying on the principal. So it causes people to want to buy a house rather than to rent. So you're actually taking ownership. That's the biggest boost for sustainability. Also, people will give more to charities. Can you imagine what would happen to charities if we took away that tax exempt? So to answer the question, I'll let you push back here. The reason why we're having so much trouble is the difference between this economy and the Ronald Reagan economy. When Ronald Reagan lowered taxes drastically, the economy boomed. He also reduced regulations, airline industry, many things. So it caused businesses to want to expand, open up other locations, and hire other employees. When you lower taxes, as John F. Kennedy did in his early in his administration, Ronald Reagan did, and twice during the George W. Bush administration, 01 and 03, more revenue comes in, just like Walmart. If they want to increase the revenue, they give people discounts.
So I want to shift it a little bit.
Shift it.
I'm going to give you that other pushback a little bit later, but that was a small one. That piece is that many people make investor income, and they don't pay GET, and they don't pay income tax. And I know that because that's how I make my money.
But they have to pay GET. Okay, but I see what you're saying. When you receive your money in your paycheck, state taxes, federal taxes are taken out.
No, it's investor income. When you have investor income, they don't take those things out. So they're
not
really
GET, no.
They don't take GET out. They don't take near the same rate of taxes out. So a lot of the people who get the fat ride are the people who are, I consider myself really wealthy. I mean, wealthy at a very, very low level. But you can make money where you have a minimal amount of taxes, and the people who are the wealthiest typically don't have to work and don't have to pay taxes. I can be poor without having to. I can gift the work that I'm doing. So there's a little bit of a heart center of how a lot of our economy is moving. So I'm just going to kind of bring you into that little edge area, right? Because I'm somewhere between, I don't know what I am actually. I don't have a party anymore, but a little bit more on the
You can join mine.
A little bit more on the libertarian side, somewhere. I actually feel like the parties are pretty blurred at this point. But where do you think that the hot-button issues are for District 15? I'm trying to get you to talk about what you think the listener is going to really care about and where it's going to be the same or different. Like, they might have issues that are very important to them that they aren't going to shift too much. They might have issues that are very important to them, that they're really looking for a pretty strong shift. You know, where do you see the concern, and why would somebody want to have a new direction?
Well, I think everybody's interested in having not only a good-paying job, but a job that will continue to grow and will prosper in Hawaii.
So where's that job coming from? Is the job?
Well, the majority of our jobs now are coming from tourism. Second in Kauai is agriculture.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Land development, I think, yeah? Those are all kind of right there. Land development, I think, is tied neck and neck with tourism?
No. I believe tourism is the number one industry. Now you can fractionalize, you can create a fraction of it and saying, well, this part of tourism is land development.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, anytime tourism takes a hit, carpentry takes a hit. building of homes takes a hit, building of a strip mall where somebody can open up a business and participate in the great American dream of owning your own business, the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness, so to speak. So basically what I'm interested in is creating an environment, which I don't believe the state legislature nor the Senate has been doing, in creating an environment where people can hang on more of their money. Government still has that idea that money belongs to them. They
so
just let you keep a little.
You would be running against Jimmy Tokioka?
Jimmy Tokioka, yes.
And you feel that his vision is less of a job-creating position?
Yes.
Like, I think of him as being very supportive of the biotech industry, very supportive of, and those create jobs, at least that's what we're told.
Right.
So you would be creating jobs in a different area.
Well, not only supporting business, but the way that you support business is by simply creating, and I'm just basically just repeating what I've said already, is not only lowering taxes, but creating an environment where business want to invest in Hawaii. Presently, Hawaii is one of the toughest places to invest in. It's not the most friendly place towards business because of taxes, licensing fees, the bureaucracy of dealing business. I think that you've been involved with business before, weren't you?
I've been very involved with business. So that was kind of my big shtick for about 20 years.
People have a point of view, or at least an idea, that when you hang a shingle, you're just making money. You're not. It's very difficult.
Yes, it's very difficult.
But if you're successful, you create jobs.
So we have a caller on the air.
Okay.
You're on the air.
It's better at that. But Steve, in the past, you've really supported the GMO industry and kind of foo-fooed fears about GMOs. Would you continue to give them tax breaks, water breaks, electric breaks, and all those other breaks to encourage them to stay on our island?
So, I'm sorry, we kind of broke into your question. Why don't you repeat that again?
In the past, you've been supportive of the biotech industry, and you kind of foo-fooed the fears around GMO food. So would you continue to support them and give them the tax breaks, the water breaks, and the electric breaks that they're getting to encourage them to continue to be on the island?
That's a good question. I'm not exactly sure exactly what breaks they get on water and tax. I know they must get some breaks, but to answer your question about my feelings on GMO, I still feel like it's a viable part of the industry. I think it's producing a lot of good, not only for the county, but for the world, and producing food. I don't believe I've never really found anything that's substantiated people always want to lay out their facts on GMO and so-called facts, but I've never found anybody I always hear about people who are sick, but I never see any doctors validating that says, yes, it was GMO. Nobody can stand up and do that. Otherwise, there'd be lawsuits against it.
So you got the facts validating that GMO food is safe to eat then?
Well, it's like believing in God. You know, I don't have to prove that it exists. I don't have to prove it. it's not hurting. If I don't believe it's hurting anybody. Now if I really had somebody come up to me who, and I'm not speaking of yourself, but I'm speaking of if a doctor came out with proof that was substantiated by whether it be the Food Drug Administration or the U.S. Department of Agriculture or whatever, whoever monitors these things, says, yeah, it's an ironclad case that this did that without any, I mean, people always argue the point, but we're not to that stage, nor do I think we will be. I've talked to people who are in the biotech industry who basically understand the research of it, and they said, Steve, if we were to cut this thing out, about a billion people, this was his verbiage to me, would die. I mean, people depend worldwide on what we do here in Kauai, not to mention 300 jobs.
You've obviously been listening to them quite a bit. So you listen to the FDA Center for Food Safety, who's actually a former Monsanto executive, and you trust his opinion on whether they were good food, though, being an intelligent politician representing the people of Kauai.
What government agency will you trust? see, that's the point.
Well,
what point? I mean, we can't just all – not every man can do what's right in his own eyes. You've got to find some base of ground, some foundation. When you build a house, you just can't build – you have to build it on a foundation. So if you don't trust the USDA, EPA, OSHA, whatever government agency you don't trust, who do you trust?
That's really a good question. Who do you trust?
Yeah, that's my question to you.
Yeah, I trust the scientists that really don't have any vested interests.
Oh, okay.
So would you open up, would you put up your possible website or how people could get information to you for those people that actually have information that you might benefit by if you would read it?
Boy, I'm sure glad you brought that up because a website is on its way. It's not
do
here
you
yet.
Have an email that they can email
I
you
do,
to?
I do have an email.
And that's what KKCR is about, is helping you have interface with the constituent group.
Right
on. What is your email?
The email is hi, as the word hi. H-I, or Hawaii, steveyoder@gmail.com.
And so that's steveyoder at gmail.com.
Yeah.
So hi as in Hawaii, Steve Yoder.
The information I'd be looking for, Felicia, and to the caller. Missed you on my show last Saturday, by the way. How do I phrase this delicately? Is to have some really not on a one certain side that has an agenda. And I, you know, scientist, there's all different types of scientists.
So basically, though, as a politician, you would not operate by the precautionary principle. You would not have them prove that they were safe before they were allowed to do whatever they would at their will.
Well, we've had enough history to where we've been eating. You know how long we've been consuming biotech food? Is basically corn used to look like wheat. The only engineering that's taking difference is that it's being done in a lab instead of in the field. Corn used to look like wheat. I mean, maize isn't the original looking corn.
You're obviously showing that you exactly do not know what genetic engineering is because it is not cross pollinization and hybridization. It is not that. So, and if you look at the charts that show so many unexplainable diseases, autism, asthma, attention deficit disorder, correlate exactly with the rise in the function of GMO foods and pesticide use.
That's the operative word, unexplainable.
Yeah,
so you want to explain it one way, but you have to have solid proof of that. But answer your question, I'm not convinced that GMO is wrong. I do support the people that have their 300 jobs over there. But I hope that you would not be just a one-issue voter, that everything depends, hell's bells, on GMO.
This covers many issues. I'm saying, would you support the precautionary principle? Would you support the idea that before someone comes in and unleashes their technologies on us, they have to show us substantial proof that it is actually safe?
No.
Or would you rather support that we can be a living biological experiment?
Well, see, what you're doing here is you're pushing me into a corner for a premise that I would not agree with to begin with. So to answer your question, no, because I don't agree with the premise that you're starting with.
The precautionary principle. You don't agree with the precautionary principle.
And that's what we have a USDA for. Let me just put it this way also. I have family who grow the product. They're Mennonites back in northern Indiana. And I've asked them specifically. Now, this is maybe anecdotal, but a lot of it's grown back there. And they said, Steve, we personally are concerned about health. We're concerned for our own health, other people's health. They've found nothing wrong, and they've gone to the source. So, but evidently, I know that you guys have spent a lot of time. I know it's a big hot topic here. But to answer your question, I don't agree with your premise.
The question is, do you support the precautionary principle?
I support the fact that there's nothing wrong with it. We haven't found anything wrong with it.
No, do you support the idea that
you know what? We're going around.
No, you have to say yes or no. Do you support the precautionary principle?
Maybe he doesn't understand what precautionary principle is. Make that really clear because he's answering for GMO. And I need to say you're listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. This is Felicia and Kauai Soapbox Live with Steve Yoder running for State House of Representatives in District 15, that's like Lihue area.
Yeah. So the precautionary principle has nothing to do specifically with GMOs. It's just the idea that we need to take precautions by proving that a drug is safe before you put it on the market, proving that a certain pesticide application is safe before you do it.
I believe we've done that.
So you do support it or you do not support it?
I believe that we've already checked it out enough to know that it's okay.
No, the question is a political beating around the bush.
No, it's not.
Do you support the precautionary principle? Yes or no? Do you support the precautionary principle?
I support the fact that...
No, see, you're not answering the question. You're doing it Steve.
Well,
this is a typical politician. You're not answering the question. It's a yes or no question. It's not A, B, C, D. It's a yes or no. Do you support the precautionary principle?
I don't believe
yes.
I have to answer the question. I don't believe
you're
I...
Right. You do believe that. You do believe that you do not have to answer the questions that people put to you.
Okay.
So that is, you should stick to playing music and forget politics because you're really not qualified to support our...
Can I ask you one other question, though?
Yes, please.
Okay. There are 300 jobs over there on the west side that depend upon this industry, not to mention the tax revenue that goes into the county and the state. Do you think there's enough information now, according to what you believe, to shut it down, to put all these people homeless? I mean, not homeless, but to turn them out of a job.
I think there's enough information to shut down the GMO industry on Kauai, and I think there's enough information to give them viable jobs that are healthier.
I know where you're going to come up with those jobs, but right now you're willing to shut it down. I disagree with that. So that's my answer.
Okay, so that was nice and clear. I do have someone holding. Do you have
Thank
a
you.
Final thought?
I just think you should stick with playing music because you do that really good, but you really suck as a politician.
Thank you for half of it.
Aloha, thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, Steve! Wow, thank you for the last caller. Steve, I want to ask you something very serious right now. I know that you were an avid supporter of the Super Ferry, and you're a proponent of perpetuating the American dream in Hawaii. Which to you probably is the retro thoughts of strip malls and more business and hotels and whatnot. So when this last caller was asking you about the precautionary principle, it kind of gave me a flashback of Sarah Palin being asked about the Bush Doctrine. I don't think you really know what the precautionary principle is. So my question to you is, where do you stand on the spirit and context of what is on our state motto?
Well, I believe it's a scripture out of Deuteronomy, the land shall be established in righteousness. Is that right? Am I quoting it close enough?
The life of the land.
Life of the land.
The life of the land.
Is perpetuated.
Is perpetuated. What is it, Felicia?
It's perpetuated in righteousness.
Righteousness. Now, that brings me to the question of the resources and the protection and preservation of the resources. How do you propose to do that if you're for things like Super Ferry and the Mitt Romney mentalities and more strip malls?
Okay.
And BMO, which, by the way, is exempt from taxation.
It is exempt from most things. It's in something what's called, I'm forgetting all these things.
Okay. Let me at least address
it. The revenues from GMO are minuscule, and they haven't reported their revenues.
Enterprise
zone. What they give to the state hasn't been reported in the last 4 years. Okay, so how do you feel about the protection and preservation of the resources and the sovereignty?
Okay. Let me just kind of tick things off here one at a time. Super Ferry, I wasn't so much the advocate. I just didn't agree with the premise of why they're against it. Secondly, precautionary, rephrase it for me.
Wait.
Let's go back to that. You didn't understand why people were against the Super Ferry?
No, I understood why they're against it. I disagreed with it. Oh, yeah, I'm feeling fine.
You disagreed with it. It was all about the resources.
Well,
you disagreed with it.
Is there a Super Ferry now, ma'am? Is it? Is there a Super Ferry?
Don't play stupid and don't play cute because you don't do it very well, Steve, okay? I mean, you do the stupid part sometimes real well, but don't play cute.
But there is no Super Ferry. That's what I mean. It's a non-issue. But basically what you're looking at is the root of how I think about things. And I think that's basically what you're trying to get at.
Yeah,
I believe I believe that we should protect our resources. I think, the popular buzzword is today is sustainability. When you harvest a forest, I think you should be planting right alongside so that it will continue to grow so that you don't exhaust a land of its resources, I'm fully in favor of that.
That's it, huh?
That's what you asked.
That's it. That's your summation on the resources, huh?
So
thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Aloha, you're on the air.
What was you guys all arguing about?
So, what's your thoughts?
I don't know. What is that perpetuating? I mean, what is that law you just was telling about that guy? He said you know can't answer him.
Are you
asking me or
about the Holy Brother over there? The guy asked him what was that perpetuated what? What is that? What was he talking about?
The girl or the woman who was just asking about preservation?
The guy who was arguing with the other guy just right now.
Okay, the strength of the land is perpetuated in
no, I know that. He said he asked the guy if he knew what the definition or if he was supporting that. He asked him yes or no. And he said he couldn't answer yes or no.
Well, no, I think what you're asking is the previous caller. He asked me to.
Yeah.
He wanted me to go into a yes or no.
What was that? What was that wording that he said?
Precautionary. It's a go ahead, Wendell.
Precautionary principle.
A precautionary principle. Yeah, it's like you do any study. It's what the EIS was about. That's what to make sure that if you're going to do something within business, whether it'll affect positive or negative, not only for the environment but for business and for infrastructure and things. There's so many ramifications to it. So. I agree with it, but I was I don't like when somebody starts pushing me into a yes or no. I feel like I'm being put into a trap of some type, and I don't feel comfortable with that.
Are you still on the air, caller? Okay, I might have accidentally hung up on him. Steve, I had another caller call to say, do you favor mandatory labeling of GMOs?
The problem that I have with mandatory labeling, and I'm not too sure exactly what that means. And if you could answer me, is this where we put a stamp on something that says, like, organic? If I've seen on product, it's stamped organic. Are they saying that when you buy a product, like, for example, Wheaties, made by cereal manufacturers, to say it's GMO? Is that what they're talking about? So I think what's happening within the GMO, the people are against genetically modified organism, biotech, whatever it's called, or how it's called, not whatever it's called, by what it's called. They're trying to find a source of a way that we can attack it and knock it out, basically get it away. So if we have something to hit, and that's the reason for the labeling, as best as I can see. But, boy, there's so much more I'd love to talk about than just GMO, but wherever you guys want to ask about, that's fine. And Felicia's taking a phone call.
I am taking a call. I had somebody who was not wanting to come on the air, but a previous caller who she did want me to tell you that she was very enthusiastic to hear about a new candidate and is very, 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 she gave me three, very disappointed with that platform. We have another caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hey, what concerns me is, all the honey that people produce on the island. If you make mead, you'd be concerned about where you're getting your honey from. And I didn't really dawn on me until recently that the other side of the island, from the Hui on, if you got beekeepers in that zone, it's, wouldn't want to say it, well, it's got to be that those bees have been touching some kind of pesticide, and then they're making honey, and then you're going to turn them into whatever you're going to do, serve them for wherever. So in terms of somebody's business being affected, that could happen. Especially if you're making any kind of food product. If you make meat or you do any kind of infusing with honey, if you stay on the outer side, you gotta be careful. Like me, I get my honey, either I go on I'm going to get them from Big Island, or I'm going to get them from a local. I try to be from Moloa on this way towards the North Shore, because it doesn't seem like this, you know, people are strongly against it, so I feel a lot safer getting it from this side. Anyway, that was just a little, didn't really see how it would affect me, but yeah, and it would affect people's business on the other side. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, any kind of stuff, to me, I feel all these poisonings and stuff, you know, if you want got down to it, everybody's just spraying something.
Yeah.
Everybody. All the farmers, intermediately, you know, they're spraying. Everybody throwing fertilizers all over the place.
Yep. So, been doing it a long time.
That is all over the place. You know what I mean? Not even over there. All over this side, too. So, but anyway, GMO trip, that's on a heavy trip.
But so was there a question in there?
No, it's just, you know, I'm afraid of the honey and the bees getting affected, you know, because that's a lot of pollination and stuff.
Okay.
It kind of controls everything.
Okay, well, let me.
But yeah, anyway.
Let me bring up something here. And I received a note here. Somebody, I guess the caller says, I'm trying to give you a hookup or a hook to help you make some specific examples for a reason. To pay attention to your candidacy, many of your ideas use generalities. So let me give you something that's not a generality. Traffic, which has been a big topic for a long time, one of the ideas that I've thought of for a great many years, and I don't know why it's ever been done, I asked Jay Fafaro about this, is that we have state land where there's a power line trail through it. Wendell, have you ever traveled the power line trail? You ever been in a Jeep up there?
Just a short distance.
Yeah. What about the idea of creating a thoroughfare, two-lane highway, much like what Bette Midler has through her property and similar to what we have going through Kipu area, to create a road from along the power line trail from up above Princeville that would hook up clear to Knudsen's Gap and have everything spoke up to where somebody wouldn't, when they leave the homesteads, they don't have to all pile down to Cocoa Palms like I do. To try and make a right or left. Yeah. You could go into state land. The land will not be developed, no more than Bette Midler's would be, because it's state land, and yet you could have a thoroughfare through there and relieve the traffic. And
Bette Midler's means the
bypass in Kapa'a. Yeah. There's a specific idea. How's that one sound?
Okay. And, caller, do you have anything else? Because I have...
I don't know, but I can tell you this. If you get on four-cylinder, you're going to be flying through that road.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Because that's deep, but I think more on the issue of that is cutting through the mountain. I think certain zones, I believe it's too spiritual deep in there to be actually having traffic in nature back there. But, you know, I think plenty of people will be against that. But I think a lot of us,
I think there's...
I tell you, who did you ask to do that road through there? Who would you ask?
Well, the road's already there. It's just not developed. It was really buffed out nice after the 92 hurricane because we had to get.
Yeah, but who are you going to ask to actually do that?
Well, it's part of a state.
I think he's asking, would you, if you were the representative, would you put that before the people, or would you simply work to create that opportunity?
Well, a lot of times, a lot of people, they go and do things, but they never ask the right people. So if you can continue on going anyway, you're going to get on bad blessing. And down the road, you're going to get problems.
Well, the way
it might be expensive. You might have enough money to pay people off. But what I'm saying is, do you know who to ask? And a lot of people, they don't know because they never live on this island as long as Hawaiian people. So when we go into an area, you got to know who to ask first. And a lot of people don't.
Okay. Well, I guess I'd ask everybody. You'd hold community meetings, see what people think. And you're always going to get pushback. Nobody's going to agree entirely with doing something. You always have disagreement. But I think that's a very specific thing there.
So thank you, caller. I have other people holding, but you've brought up some really important points.
That's interesting. It's not as simple as that. I don't think if you find another little Hawaiian out there to actually see what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, I agree with you.
You still didn't ask the right person.
Well, I agree with you that it's not simple. I never said it would be, but that's specific.
I think, caller, you can correct me if I'm wrong, having done this for quite some time, that there would be quite a bit of emotional, spiritual resistance to the road, as we've seen with the horizontal drill. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So something's going to have to be done. And doing that, this is my thoughts on it, that it can be done without affecting anything that's happening on the road today. But if we come to the point, as the island grows, because it will grow, there's no way around it. If we're going to continue to have kids, we'll need businesses, whether it be strip malls or whatever they may be. But we're going to have a more burgeoning traffic problem. And otherwise, we're going to have to make it a four-lane highway with medians and traffic lights. And I'd like anything that I could do to keep it the way it is today and basically parlay it further inland, I think would be a great idea.
Well, thank you. And thank you, caller.
Yeah, well, guys, you guys have a beautiful day.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much for holding. You're on the air.
Good. Thank you. Steve, you know, there was a question that came through, and it was...
Can you turn off your radio?
I turned it off already. It's off.
All right.
I just have chickens in the background and dogs barking. I don't know if that's interfering.
No worries. Go with your question.
Okay. I heard a caller call and said something about labeling, and you seem to be opposed to labeling. And, you know, when we're buying food in the store, and let's say it has some GMO corn in it, like the 2,4-D corn, which has Agent Orange in it, don't we, the consumer, have a right to know what we're buying?
I'm not too sure we're selling. Okay, here we go. I don't believe that we're consuming food with Agent Orange in it, but do you prefer to eat organic food?
I do.
Then it's already labeled. You know what to eat. Now, if I want to eat something that you may disagree with, allow me the liberty to do so.
So
okay. I just think that things.
And you kind of proved my point. Yeah. There's a point in this labeling where they want to have something to target, to basically.
I don't agree with that.
Well, I'm not asking you to, but it is labeled. It's labeled organic. Just buy it. It's okay.
Okay. So, thank you.
Okay.
All right. Steve, running for House of Representatives.
State House of Representatives.
How am I saying it? State
House. House of Representatives, people can confuse that with Congress.
Okay, which means Washington.
Yeah.
State House of Representatives. Yeah. District 15, Republican ticket, Jimmy Tokioka's seat. You would be challenging Jimmy Tokioka. So Steve Yoder running Republican ticket. You have another call. Oops. Aloha, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. This is Marty Moffin, healthcare provider on the west side. And I just want to clarify what the precautionary principle is. It didn't sound like anybody clear on it.
Thank you for making it clear.
Okay. The international law called the precautionary principle, also embodied in many other domestic laws, is meant to guide policy and decision-making where public health and the environment may be harmed. It states that even if the science is uncertain or incomplete as to whether an activity will harm public health and the environment, there should be a presumption that indeed public health and the environment would be harmed. With this presumption, a burden is placed on the doer of the activity to prove that public health and the environment would not be harmed before going forward. Where GM experimentation on Kauai has seen little oversight while bringing dramatic increases in pesticides, even some that are outlawed in Europe, dust and risks of cross-contamination with non-GM plants, the precautionary principle has already gone awry. So I just wanted to clarify what that was about. Precautionary principle.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
That's it.
Okay, thank you so much for adding that clarification.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We have one more caller, and then I want to see if Wendell has something he wants to be able to share. You're on the air.
Okay. I was living in Europe when... they were bringing in GMO, and everybody was calling it Frankenfoods and everything. And one of the ministers from Nigeria was in town, and he said, if you folks don't want it, give it to me. We have people starving to death.
Okay.
Thank you. That was refreshing.
Okay, we have one last call, and then I was going to let Wendell have something to say if he wants to. We have Jazz with John coming on in just a few minutes. This is KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, Steve Yoder, Republican candidate for District 15, State House of Representatives. Aloha, you are on the air. Yep.
I'll be really quick. I'm the original caller who asked about the labeling issue, and I think as with many of these issues, Steve has just danced around them like a typical politician without really answering them. Now, because something's labeled organic, has nothing to do with GMO crops that are grown without organic pesticides, and with, say, plums, for example. What I meant by labeling is this product contains GMO products or this product does not contain GMO products. There's a whole middle ground there of chemical fertilized products that do not have GMO, and I don't necessarily believe those should be labeled, but when you label something organic, that does not mean that it necessarily there's should not be a labeling law that tells consumers whether this product has or doesn't have GMO in it. And I think that's specific enough to get an answer from you as to whether or not you support labeling of GMO products.
Well, okay,
after
so you're
hearing
saying...
you, I doubt that you do.
Okay, so basically what you're telling me, and all I know is what you're telling me here, is that when something is labeled organic, if I understood you correctly, it doesn't mean it's not necessarily free of GMO. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying
okay.
at all.
But I just
also, you have to trust the organic certification process. Which I happen to know people who do that, and that's also a big gray area.
Okay, so yeah,
I want to know whether you support having a label on a food product that is in our stores that says this contains GMO products or this does not contain GMO products. And labeling it organic is another issue.
Okay, thank you, caller. I think you made your point really clear. Wendell, I wanted to give you an opportunity if you have any questions to ask.
No, just regarding the labeling issue, it seems like in the stores now, a lot of companies are voluntarily labeling their products non-GMO for those people who, you know, take issue with the GMO, non-GMO.
Uh-huh.
And I'm noticing a lot more companies are labeling their food voluntarily.
Uh-huh. In fact, I think there's one. I think it's a major company. I don't know if it's Kellogg's or who it is that said that they wouldn't be using GMO anymore.
Wheaties?
I think it was Wheaties. One of the major companies.
One of the major
General
companies.
Mills or
I mean,
what it was.
There is a lot of demand issues where people, they don't want it. Many people don't. I think that's fair to say.
Mm-hmm.
The last caller said, next time you do a music show, he wants you to play They Pave Paradise, Put Up a Parking Lot by Joni
Mitchell. Okay. Play it right now. I think John would mind, wouldn't you? I can't, but he knows I can't be on there anymore.
Okay.
Okay.
But Wendell.
For music.
Do you have a question or
thought? I think he just did it.
Well, you know, I do have one concern, the Federal Reserve Bank, that I think from your point of view...
I
think the Federal Reserve banking system has caused a lot of the problems that you've been discussing, you know, regarding taxes and all of the downhill stuff that happens because of the interest we have to pay on money that is created out of thin air.
Oh yes, I agree with you. That's called
with no. You know, and we're the ones who are supposed to be printing the money, not some private corporation.
You only print money that you really have something a basis for it. But you're absolutely, Wendell, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. That's quantitative easing is what it's called. For I think the first 4 years of the Obama administration, we're printing out of thin air $85 billion a month.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money. And see what that does? It devaluates the dollar. And if you ever see the dollar dropping in value with other countries, which simply means that if you travel abroad, it's not going to pay for much, but also it means that it drives up the cost of goods coming into America that we import. So yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that.
But the problem is, to me, mm-hmm. that the Federal Reserve should not have the power to print money.
Boy, that's been a long... This goes all the way back to Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson.
No, 1913.
In 1913. But, I mean, this has always been...
actually did come right after the American Revolution. It actually preceded the American Revolution. Yeah. It really, the currency was a big issue there.
There's a great email out there, Felicia. The first 10 presidents were presidents before George Washington. There's presidents that were... I mean,
during the Articles of Confederation time. All right. You had a question that got to be really short. We're gonna leave with a happy song, and then there's going to be the county council report, and then it's going to be Jazz with John. So this question, I had a sense, was a little bit had a little bit of an edge in the way it was asked, but you can take it any way you want and respond to it as positively as you would like. It says, why do you like living on Kauai?
It's home. This is where I grew up. You know, I enjoy surfing, although I haven't surfed that much. It's a great place to raise a family. It's very safe. And it's my home. It's what I know. It's what I recognize. I'd feel out of place anyplace else, Felicia.
Okay.
I really would.
So before we break to song and the county council report, any final thought, 20, 30 seconds?
Well, yeah, I'd hope that you guys would support Steve Yoder in the 15th district for the state representatives. If you guys are interested in seeing less government, and that your money is actually yours, then you would have a say over it in the state legislature. I'd like to be that person that would vote in your favor.
And you'll be on the Republican ticket.
On the Republican ticket.
Wendell, a final aloha.
Well, going back to your previous comment about why you love living on Kauai, I think all of the people who are living here share the same heartfelt love of the island, that you cannot exclude anybody because we're here because we love living here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all share that in common. And I just wanted to bring that out.
Wendell, thank you.
All right. And this has been Kauai Soapbox Live. And Jazz with John is up next. We're going to hear a little bit from Michael Fronte, and then we'll hear the county council report. And I'm not that much of a music player, so let's hope I do it right here. Because we all have our different things that we do on KKCR. So let's see if I can get Sound of Sunshine up here.